A little girl runs barefoot through Rhode Island snow, holes in her shoes exposing frozen toes, while rocks and racial slurs fly at her back. This wasn't a scene from a movie. This was Viola Davis at 8 years old, living in what her family called hell, 128 Washington Street in Central Falls. Born on a South Carolina plantation in 1965, delivered by her grandmother when the midwife ran late, Davis entered a world where joy existed in stolen moments between crushing poverty and violence. Her childhood home was condemned, rat-infested, and without reliable heat or hot water. The rats terrified her most, jumping on beds at night while she and her sisters huddled together, watching her sister Anita wield a red plastic bat like a warrior, once flattening a rodent like a pancake. These weren't just memories. They were the foundation of an artist who would one day become the first African American to win the Triple Crown of acting. But before the accolades came decades of learning to survive in a world that tried to make her invisible. Poverty doesn't just empty your stomach, it erases you. Davis went to school smelling of urine because she wet the bed until 14 and had no hot water to wash. When her beloved teacher recoiled and whispered she needed soap and water, the shame cut deep. She scrubbed herself raw, washed her clothes by hand, wore them damp, but no one acknowledged her efforts. Classmates refused to drink from the water fountain after her. Hunger gnawed constantly. School lunch was their only reliable meal. When food stamps ran out, they dumpster dived and mooched off friends. Davis shoplifted food until age 9, when getting caught shamed her into stopping. Yet, amid this deprivation, something miraculous happened. At 8, watching Cicely Tyson transform from 18 to 100 in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, Davis felt a hand reach for hers, showing her a way out. Shortly after, she and her sisters entered a skit contest at Jenks Park with a $2.50 wardrobe budget and won first place. That victory gave them temporary asylum from fear. They just wanted to be somebody. At 14, Davis met Ron Stetson through the Upward Bound program. He tested her commitment by warning about rejection. She was the only one who kept her hand raised. Then he told her she was beautiful, challenging her belief that no one thought dark-skinned girls were pretty. Acting became her perfect alchemy for healing. In drama class, every receptor in her body felt alive and free. She could be 100% herself without hiding anything. This passion carried her to Rhode Island College on full scholarship, though she still juggled 4 jobs her senior year. Her Juilliard audition revealed both naivety and extraordinary talent. Unaware auditions typically spanned 3 days, she allocated 45 minutes and boldly demanded an immediate decision. The shocked faculty fast-tracked her, gathering all department teachers to watch her perform and accepted her on the spot. At Juilliard, training proved overwhelmingly Eurocentric. White guest actors, white playwrights, all geared toward molding perfect white actors. But a transformative summer in the Gambia, West Africa, awakened her senses and taught her that creating requires using your authentic self. At 28, Davis survived on $1.20 rice and $3 chicken wings, sleeping on a futon in a shared room. Her first job understudying paid $250 weekly. She never went on. Auditions trickled in, mostly for drug-addicted mothers. Breaking into film seemed impossible until Steven Soderbergh's Out of Sight audition. Exhausted by rejections, she flatly delivered lines for Moselle, Don Cheadle's girlfriend. 3 weeks later, shockingly, she got it. Soderbergh later credited the combination of your stillness and that big hair. One screen role triggered a domino effect. Suddenly, the same people who wouldn't cast her were asking where she'd been. Her health collapsed from severe fibroids and anemia so bad she'd fall asleep standing in the subway. When she finally had 9 enormous fibroids removed, her mother refused to leave her hospital room, remembering when doctors had wanted to experiment on 2-year-old Davis. During A Raisin in the Sun, castmate Joseph Edward asked why Davis didn't have anyone in her life. When he suggested praying specifically for what she wanted, she was skeptical but followed his advice. That night, she detailed her desires, A big black man who was an ex-athlete, Southern and country, who already had children, trusted in God, and was emotionally available. 3 weeks after moving to LA, she met Julius Tenen on set, everything she'd prayed for. An ex-football player from Texas with two children, he genuinely listened. For their first date, he accompanied her to a photo op, then simply shook her hand and called her beautiful. He called 20 minutes later, again when he got home, and even at 4 a.m. after an earthquake to check if she was okay. With Julius, Davis created a new family intentionally. Coming from childhood trauma, she needed radical transformation. She'd been taught to run and hide, not to love and be still. They married in 2003, and 2 years after her first Oscar nomination, they adopted their daughter Genesis. When she first met 5-month-old Genesis in foster care, her smile seemed to invite Davis to be her mother. Davis's Hollywood breakthrough came with Doubt in 2008, at 42, opposite Meryl Streep. Though terrified, downing an entire can of homeopathic stress tablets before their first rehearsal, the ego-free process treated her as an equal. Her first Oscar nomination validated years of struggle, yet even after The Help, leading roles remained elusive. The stress gave her shingles twice. Then came How to Get Away with Murder. At 47, she won an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actress, becoming the first African-American actress to receive this award. Playing Annalise Keating, a dark-skinned woman close to 50 in a leading role, forced Davis to confront her vulnerability. She chose authenticity over apology. Winning the Oscar for Fences represented achieving a lifelong goal, a perfect moment where she finally felt deserving of joy. Davis's relationship with her father transformed over time. Once a source of terror, he became a loving patriarch who took in 5 grandchildren when his own children couldn't care for them. When he died of pancreatic cancer, Davis held his hand and told him it was okay to go. Despite their complicated history, losing him took a piece of her heart that would never return. She is reconciled with her 8-year-old self, the girl who ran through snow with holes in her shoes. That little girl now reminds her, "Don't worry, I'm here to beat anybody's ass who messes with our joy." At 9, Davis begged God to take her away from poverty. Years later, she realized he did, just on his terms. He kept her there so that when she gained strength and forgiveness, she could remember what trauma, hunger, and poverty feel like. Every painful memory became warrior fuel, giving her hyper-focus to see people, how they walk, talk, laugh, grieve, and their silences. The journey from Singleton Plantation to the Oscar podium wasn't just about accolades. It was about finding herself, embracing her story, and using it to create art that speaks truth. Your past doesn't have to be your prison. It can be the very thing that sets you free.